see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. And the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We are on this evening, middle of the week, and I want to talk about, I'll probably talk about from now on, I guess, the end of time events that's coming up. Man, they're really massacring the end time events, not remotely following Scripture, making things up as they go along. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that World War III is coming, that this is Ukraine, and all this is World War III. It's not even in their planning process. It's documented what World War III is. It's Islam and the countries that follow Islam against political Zionism is the plan for World War III. So what are they up to? A fake World War III? A fake World War III of some kind to quell, no pun intended, a fake World War III to quell and then say, oh, we have peace now. Armageddon's over. Uh-huh. Gog and Magog, they interchange these words like it was some party word. They'll throw it in whenever they want to. It's all over. We're free. We're no sin, no judgment, no tribulation. God's a liar, and we all can do what we want to do. You think the creator of this universe is going to allow that? So somebody's wrong somewhere. So they got to eliminate the Bible. They got to diminish it. They have to diminish the doctrine of Jesus Christ as he appears in the King James Bible. Somehow, Wait a minute. Would that be the great falling away by chance? Yeah, it'd be a big chance, that's what. Well, wouldn't that be in the Bible also? Yeah, it would. No matter how they turn, there's nothing they can do about the fulfillment of the Scripture. Mankind is just a pawn. We think we're so great and smart. Hardly. And we're at the highest level, I'm talking about. Governments, kings and queens and priests and popes and all this. They're nothing but slaves to the fallen angels. That's all they are. But they're going to make it difficult. God's going to allow it because mankind is pulling away by changing the laws of the land to go against the Bible. Now, they got something there. They got something there now. Because they get that to happen, God's going to say, okay, you want it? You got it. And you New Agers, I know there's not here tonight, but the New Agers, be careful what you all meditate for, because you're liable to get it. And it will not be pleasant by no stretch. It's called the second seal. The real World War III. So they got diminished, China and Russia, United States. They've got to be diminished to bring in the Holy Roman Empire. So they got to have some kind of war that's going to bring on this alien invasion. And somewhere, the Antichrist will bring in peace. So they got to have something first. Because this one named Sanan Emanuel is starting to pick up steam as far as becoming public. And this name Sananda has kind of a Hindu Buddhic ring to it. Oh, I'm glad I said that. That reminds me of something. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to have today, tonight, we're going to talk more detail about the Antichrist. And if you come here hoping that I'm going to say, Prince William is the Antichrist, you're not going to hear that, or Obama is the Antichrist, or Raj Patel is the Antichrist, or Dingendorf Dorstrop or something is the Antichrist, or whatever. I couldn't do that again if I had to. You'll know when he appears. There'll be no doubt about that. They'll have to have TV. They'll have to have some way to show him to everybody. Because they're not going to have TV after about 3 years, 2 years, because God's going to take it down. And you won't know, you won't have to have TV to know when the first trumpet sounds at all. It'll be pretty apparent. And it won't be harp going, buh, 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 whatever. It won't be harp playing it on some YouTube channel, some guy in Timbuktu, Michigan, or wherever, say, oh, I heard the first trumpet. Well, maybe if he tells everybody that he heard the first trumpet in Timbuktu, Michigan, that he can get his Nobel Peace Prize or something and do it before it hits, really. Sounds silly? Well, that's what they're saying on the YouTube. Oh, well, they're hearing trumpets, but the trumpets are from harp. Voice and sound to skull technology. After all, they got to tune up their instruments on harp. They're already tuning up their killer devices, causing those from the military that's under hypnosis through the microchip technology to kill their own children. It's already going on. They're testing it out. The militia out there are the ones that's going to fight for freedom in America and all that. They have no idea what's going to happen with the microchips inside the planes. The fast movers have corrupted microchips in them. Thanks to China to make sure that they have no resistance, and the microchips inside the soldiers and Marines as well. And all they got to do is turn each other against each other. Interesting. That's what God did to the fallen angels, the hybrids, before the flood. That's what he's going to do at the end of the Armageddon, at the end of the 7 years, the transhumanized army of fallen angels that's taken human bodies will go against God and the 10,000 of his saints. But for Jesus, it'll be an order. It'll be a command, and they'll fight each other to the death. The blood will run deep at the real Armageddon, not the fake one they got today. They could do that. They could cause the veterans to fight each other. They could cause the veterans to kill each other. They got 22 suicides per day with the microchips in. They can track the DNA from satellite. Oh, I know. They have it in that new movie now. I've been talking about this 5 years. But now they put it in a movie. This stupid movie. Captain America. They come out with it in the Captain America movie. They tell you. They can track the DNA. But it's on a fictional storyline, Captain America. So therefore, now that today, and when I say, oh yeah, they can track your DNA, people are going to say, oh Tom, you saw that movie, didn't you? Well, I got a document. I've talked about it for 5 years. But see, immediately it diminishes the actual report that you give them that they can track your DNA through satellite. Well, now you can't say it because people say, oh, I saw that movie. It completely nullifies it, neutralizes that knowledge immediately after a movie with a fictional storyline comes up. That is genius. A lot of trouble to do it. Movie. That's how they do it. Put it all in storylines, TV, magazines, books, comic books. Linked up to storylines. That's what they do, the witchcraft. Harry Potter, Rowling, she is a witch. Ordained witch. You have a lot of judges down in the South that are warlocks on the bench. Literally. But when I say warlock, because of the TV, the movies, the Walt Disney, all that, it diminishes the actual power that the warlocks have through demonic entities. I say warlocks, oh yeah, you read that book, Harry Potter. No. I'm talking reality here. So you got a mini barrier. That's how they do it. It's so clever. But their cleverness is going to run out. They'll have nowhere to go when God says, I've had enough. Now it's my turn. And judgment's coming down that there's nothing they can do. And it will be no joke. No TV. No fantasy. It'll be real. When's that going to happen? Nobody knows. Everybody says they know, and they write books and put CDs out, but they don't know. But they're going to know. When God's had enough. All bets are off. Agenda 21, you won't even worry about Agenda 21, FEMA camps and all this sort of thing. It'd be real. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Tonight I want to talk about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the end times events. And I hope tomorrow morning, the title I can't remember sometimes. Tomorrow morning, it's about 7:30. I'm going to be on a radio show for the second time as a guest. It's called Jesus in the Morning. It's online radio by Freedom Doors Ministries. Barbara Mack. And it's at 7:30. So you'd go to Blog Talk Radio and put in Jesus in the Morning and Freedom Doors Ministries. Yeah, I'll be broadcast for Freedom Doors Ministries. Last time I was on a show, on May the 1st, it was about HPV, the silent killer, and method of depopulation. And we covered a lot of ground in that show. And tomorrow morning, it's about attack on the family and elimination of the family for world peace. Can you imagine? Destruction of the family to attain world peace. Shall I say that again? Destruction of the family to obtain world peace. That's the Humanist Manifesto. You have to eliminate the nuclear family in order to have world peace? Yes, you do. That's contrary to everything we've been taught. It's a Humanist Manifesto. This is what's going on in the background. Absolutely amazing study, but it can lead you down paths. You got to be careful not to be possessed of the knowledge that you want to learn, that you get so round around the axle that you forget who wins and about studying Scripture. Because it will pull you away if you're not careful. And then you get caught up in trying to prove your point. That you get caught up in the YouTubes and the internet and all this arguing, debating. I'll show you who's right. All right. And you start, and you forget. When you attack people, they run away. That's really not what you want. That's why the Terry Jones was burning Korans. He's trained by P2 in Europe for almost 30 years. He's up involved in high-level intelligence with Germany called P2. He's not some backwoods preacher in Florida. Him burning the Koran, I'm a hero, I'm burning Koran, is the stupidest thing ever was. However, it's very clever for their agenda because he knew what he was doing. That's what he was told to do by German Illuminati, by his trainees, his trainers. By burning the Quran will cause resistance. Resistance means they'll dig in. And then for those that do come over, you have Rick Warren, another Illuminati member, a so-called pastor, which he's not, who's a self-professed Council of Foreign Relations member. He's a self-professed member of the Illuminati, created Chrislam, so they get him coming and get him going. That's the big picture. Chrislam is a combination of Islam and Christianity. Well, that's not possible, not in reality, and they know that. So Terry Jones ferrets them out, Rick Warren picks them up. That's how it works in the Illuminati and the Luciferian agenda. So, let's dedicate the broadcast and let's start talking about the Antichrist. Lord, we come today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're praying, Father. We pray, Father, you cover the blood of Jesus around us to keep us focused on what we're doing, Lord, to keep the interruptions, destruction, everything that causes to get in our ways with the Word of God to be silenced, to be dealt with. Lord, that we need that Holy Spirit to protect us and guide us along for our families, those around us. And Lord, to help our loved ones. We pray for Henry tonight, Lord, that one way or the other, Father, you'll embrace him in healing. We pray for Janet's father, Lord, today, tonight, that Lord, through him, he'll be healed, that you'll bring the families together. Father, we pray for others that's making prayers now for their intercession, Father, in their own families and loved ones. We pray, Almighty God, whose will is sovereign, in all that he's made, and grace is abundant toward all who turn to thee to repentance and faith. Father, we come to thee in humble reverence for thy majesty and in confident reliance upon thy mercy, of our forgiveness of our sins. We ask you, Lord, to remove from our minds these trivial, selfish preoccupations which hinder our contemplating the majesty of your glory, impairs us, these preoccupations that impairs us to of our quest for thy healing love and knowledge. And this so may our common prayer tonight in this hour be one of the holiest endeavors of the week as we pray along, a rock amid the change and vacillation of our lives, and that it be a welcome shelter at this time from the storms and sins which beset us, from keeping our minds off what we're trying to do. That, Lord, we know the preoccupations, the interruptions, distractions will increase. Lord, help us to stay straight and narrow and focused. That, Father, we know when the change happens, then we'll be called upon to lead others in the right path. But, Father, we must get ourselves first, that we may lead others, no matter where we are, to the glory of Jesus Christ, and to become born again. We pray for our veterans returning. We pray, Lord, that you'll take away the effects of these psychotropic drugs that have been put into their bodies. Take away the effects of these microchips. Silence the voices of voice-to-skull technologies to be silenced, to give them opportunities to have divine appointments for them to accept Jesus. We pray for children, Lord, that's going to be abducted this month, especially next month. That, Father, you'll find a way to get some released and to comfort those that are already taken, and to comfort the families, Lord, that are missing their loved ones, and use these tragedies to bring people together. And guide us tonight, Lord, in this Bible study, that we can learn to pass on to others about what the end times might be. That's why, Father, we pray the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'm running across something here in the past couple of days, actually. It seems like it goes in spurts. What am I talking about here? about Enoch. And the book of Enoch is just like this Don Emmanuel and the fallen angels and all that stuff. The book of Enoch is going to take the lead. And so therefore, because we're getting closer to this events to take place, you're going to find more about Enoch than ever, because they're planning on the book of Enoch take the place of the Bible. And it's going to happen. And the reason is they have to diminish the Bible, as I mentioned a little earlier ago. Because when the fallen angels appear as aliens or whatever, they're going to come as aliens, ascended masters, whatever, they've already built their basics and their followers in the tens of, in the millions, actually. They've already been done. They've already been doing this. They've been doing this since 1870s, literally. That's a long time to set this up to be made public. And this is where the Antichrist is going to be brought into the picture, and the false prophet, this alien technology. And I don't know too many churches around. There are some, absolutely. I know there's some around. But they're sporadic, are the ones talking about this disclosure and the alien issue and how significant it's going to be. And what they're talking about is the Book of Enoch. And nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the Book of Enoch. It talks about the prophecy of Enoch. Yes. But it don't talk about the Book of Enoch. Now, they're counting on people not knowing their scripture. And we're talking the second Enoch. There's two Enochs of the Bible. Enoch of Cain, his first son, was first. And then the line of Seth, that was the next godly son of Adam and Eve. 136 years. Didn't need Viagra then, huh? 136 years after Adam and Eve. Had other kids, but Seth was the only one that was of God. You know they didn't wait around. After they had Cain and Abel, and Cain was not the son of Satan and Eve. For goodness sakes, Christian identity is full of baloney. A lot of people are starting to believe this, that Cain is the son of Satan, and Satan seduced Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that's the fruit they're talking about. Oh, baloney. It's not even worth talking about. But your Arnold Murray's and Christian identity and all these kind of people, cult groups like this, they're going with it, man. They're going with it. Big, actually. It's not some little side note. It doesn't say when exactly Cain and Abel were born. Abel, a man of God, was taken away, killed by his brother Cain. You know the story there. Then 130 years later, 36 years later, Seth is born. So you know they didn't wait 136 years to have sex again. But the Bible only mentions those men of God that had the bloodline to Jesus. That bloodline specifically is through Seth, Enos, Cana, Mahiel, Jared, Enoch. There is the second Enoch. About seven generations. Then Enoch is like three generations from Noah. Enoch was a great, great grandfather of Noah. Enoch had Methuselah. Methuselah had Lamech. Lamech had Noah. And Noah was the last. Of course, those names to prove that God had intervened in the activities of man. You can look in the Bible, as the Bible lists the genetics, structure or the names of the sons of God, or not the sons of God, sorry, but the sons and grandsons of Adam and Eve that were godly men: Seth, Enos, Cana, Mahiel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And you look up the meaning of those names as they are, it gives you a message. And there's no way that's accidental. When you put it together, it says man, which was Adam, has appointed, which is Seth, appointed, Enos, which is mortal. Man has appointed mortal sorrow, which was Cana, but the blessed God, which was Mahiel, shall come down, that means Jared, teaching, Enoch was a teacher, his death shall bring, that's what Methuselah means, his death shall bring. The despairing, it was Lamech, comfort is the name of Noah. So you put those together, man has appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching, his death shall bring the despairing comfort. In that order, God intervenes. That's a little message to show you. I didn't find this out, but to Walter Veith and Mike Hargett, I learned this from them. And I thought that was amazing. Then Noah had Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Shem is in the bloodline, goes all the way to David, all the way to Mary, to Jesus. Not Ham, not Japheth. You can trace it all the way. Abraham is of the bloodline of Shem. Different bloodline than Ham. Ham, Cush, and Nimrod. That's very significant. The bloodlines of the white folk, you heard me right, is Japheth. Japheth from the flood, after the flood, Japheth went north of the one land called Earth. Was not divided yet. Think about it. The earth was not divided back in those days. Till about 10 or 12 generations after the flood, the land was then divided. The earth scientists, they are dead wrong in saying the continental shift millions of years ago. That's just their claim, and they cannot be trusted. The Bible tells you when it Prelig, the generation of Prelig in Genesis 11, talks about when the earth was divided. Anyway, Enoch, the point is, Enoch was taken at 365 years old. The average age was 800, 900 years. God needed those men of God to live that long to populate the earth. See, sex was not designed for fun. Sex was designed to procreate. Sex is an idol. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have to. And so when we indwell in too much drinking, too much sex, this, that, and the other, it becomes an idol. Sex was created, allowed to procreate. That's after the flood, man's had to start all over again. Because man messed up, messing with the fallen angels in the flood, before the flood. So Enoch was taken like 600 years before everybody else died. The period between Adam and Eve and Noah was about 1,550 years total. And of that 1,550 years, the only men of God that existed at that time was the line of Seth. Think about that for a minute. So when that flood came, they're all dead. The Noah, the book, the movie Noah, that thing's wrong, man. That Noah movie that came out is baloney. Hard. I walked out of it so bad. I sat through 2 hours of it, and I said, after another 30 minutes to go, I said, man, I had enough of this. I got up in the middle of the movie. Excuse me. I get through. They look at me. What are you doing? I said, I'm leaving this movie. I walked out of it. Spirit got me out of there. I had to go. I couldn't sit anymore. So Noah landed. They all divided up. That's where the civilizations began. Like 10 generations, the DNA was being changed. The atmosphere of the land was different than before the flood. They're trying to bring that atmosphere back again. I'm not going there. It's a different stories. The Nephilim are coming out eventually again. Enoch. So Enoch was taken. Here's my point. That being said, the book of Enoch, they talk about in Jude. It doesn't say book. It says prophecy. And the prophecy is that Jesus Christ will come with 10,000 of his saints. If I can find exactly the verse. Let's see. It talks about in Jude, the prophecy is I don't have it right in front of me. I forget the exact scripture off the top of my head. Sorry about that. But talks about that in Jude, in the prophecy of Enoch. Now, I don't mean the book of Enoch either. Jude 1:14. If you go to Jude 1:14, bingo, there you go. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So now this prophecy would have been passed down to generation to generation. Didn't say anything about a book. But then they add to it. They say, well, they come up with Hebrew 11:5. That's where they say, well, looky there. And it reads Hebrew 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated. You see how they put that translated thing in there? Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we're not talking about translating words. We're talking about translating the body, the DNA. Because sometimes during his life, Enoch's life, he received at one time a promise, apparently, and a promise from God that he would go to heaven without dying. Up to that time, everybody had died. Adam and Eve and all of them. Sooner or later, they all died. The father of Noah, or Methuselah, no, the grandson of, or the great-grandfather of Noah, had died something like 5 days or something like, wait a minute, I'm sorry, 5 years before the flood. So they all died. All the ones that God took with them, they died. Everybody else is not with God because there are no righteous ones. Only 8 were righteous on the face of the earth at that time. There was no record of anyone ever having been taken away before dying ever. But God promised and Enoch believed. And it was the most sane and rational thing that Enoch could do. It was more reasonable than that the creature should believe his creator. So it happened. Enoch walked with the invisible God for 300 years. Go to Genesis 5:21-24. Then he walked into eternity. And before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. The life of faith always pleased God, and he loved to be trusted. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to have faith. So then why do we all worry about things and fear death? That means you have no faith. If you go to church and you pretend, then where's your faith? If you have faith, you won't worry. And moan and groan and cry and whimper. So then if you say, I go to church and I believe in God, and you worry and whimper, then there's something not working here. Double-minded. Better check your faith. Do you have real faith, or is it cosmetic? But translation, what we're talking about here, is where God changes the molecules, if you want to get down to it, the molecules of the body, the photons, protons, whatever, the atoms of the body. In other words, he takes the body of flesh and blood and turns it into flesh and bone. Becomes immortal. That's translated. That's what Adam and Eve was, flesh and bone. Before they sinned, when they sinned, blood started running through their veins because the body started dying. That's their first blood sacrifice. So to take the place of their death in anticipation of a coming Messiah, it was sacrifice of animals. But yet the blood had to run through the bones, the body. Then the heart had to start beating because then the blood nourishes the body. Provides oxygen to the cells that's dying. Otherwise, if they're eternal, they don't need that. I think there's some sects, S-E-C-T-S, that actually embrace this knowledge, but they go other directions as well. That's the idea. That is actually, that's the term of translation. But one of my points I want to make, though, is that the book of Enoch is going to take priority. Because that talks about the angels, the aliens, the ascended masters. Talks about all of it. For all the sects. The atheists. Christians. Muslims. All like the book of Enoch. That's why they're protecting it. Trying to fight for it. If they fight for the King James Bible, they'd do them a whole lot more good. Antichrist. He's going to come popping up. Y'all be ready. He's going to come in as a good guy to bring peace. They prepared this to come about. Sovereign nations would eventually going to cease to exist. For peace. A global economic system is going to be established. Anything left of the old order is going to be superficial. Languages, cultures, names. Everybody's trying to be brought together. Any real authority is now going to rest with an international body controlled by Satan himself. World religions that dispute each other will become unified. That's what the Pope is trying to do now. And he'll be a master of spiritual intrigue, if something of that nature. And at some point in time, during his ascent to power, he'll declare himself to be the Christ. Look out. They're already preparing people for that term, the Christ, already. If this were to be the case, he might also claim to be the long-awaited Messiah to the Jews. Would he not? To the Buddhists, he'll be the fifth Buddha. To Muslims, he'll be the Imam Mahdi. To Hindus, he'll be Krishna. Those Christians accepting this lie are going to see this false prophet, the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ. The Antichrist is going to be a physical being. Either way, Revelation 13 and 2 Thessalonians 2 show that the world's inhabitants will be deceived. The rise of this Antichrist will be extremely convincing, and also to those who are unprepared, not firmly grounded in the Word of God. According to the Illuminati's own textbook, this false prophet, I don't want to get these confused now, the false prophet from the Illuminati's own textbook is going to take the place of Krishna. Kalki Avatar, they call him. The Prince of Peace. The Imam Mahdi. Lord Maitreya. The Christ. Bodhisattva. B-O-D-H-I-S-A-T-T-V-A. And I did say Maitreya, didn't I not? And the Christ, Maitreya, Krishna, Bodhisattva, he'll take place of all of them. And it may be that technology, Project Bluebeam, that they'll see him in the sky, but it'll be a hologram, holographic imagery. And they'll see him throughout the United States, throughout the world, and they'll be meld together, and you are going to see the one called Sananda Emmanuel. And you know who he looks like when you look up the Ascended Masters? The one we think is Jesus Christ. That is Sananda Emmanuel. See, the real Jesus has bronze skin, dark skin. He's not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, as these white folk want to think. The Bible says he has bronze skin. Hair is like wool. And family, that's not Caucasian. But he's not black either. He's bronze skin. And he would be accepted as the false prophet because already they talk about the one named Jesus as a prophet in several, not only religions, but also the Muslims. He'd be the Kalki avatar, the Lord Maitreya, the Imam Mahdi, the Prince of Peace, Krishna, the Christ, Bodhisattva. And this one, every century, calls all his masters together, fallen angels, really what they are, to a meeting every century for the purpose of what they call the Solar Lord, and that is really the Sanat Kumara, which is Satan. What they're up to. Well, now they're starting to develop their lies, their facade, and a Wesak festival coming up in Mount Shasta, California, 9 to 11, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow, needs to be exposed. So then that leaves the Antichrist. If the false prophets is Sananda and all these other names, then the Antichrist is what now? So that makes it kind of perplexing. I tend to think that this Antichrist is going to be a physical person, whether it's Raj Patel, who knows, Obama, but I highly doubt it. But we look at the scriptures, we find out some parts of what the Antichrist is. So let's go over those. He will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I like to start off with that one. That's going to be his end. That's what's going to happen. He'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. That's after the 1,000 years of peace with Jesus Christ at the helm for 1,000 years. That hasn't happened yet, by the way. That's the Gog and Magog. Then he'll be cast in the lake of fire after that. The Lord will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That's Armageddon. 7 years after the first seal is opened. He will stand against the Prince of Princes. That's Daniel 8:25. He'll fight against Jesus Christ at Armageddon and will lose. Revelation 17:14. He'll have an image made after him. Now, I find that interesting because there's images being made now of the Buddha, of the Baphomet in Oklahoma. You know they're doing this? You know what they're doing it for? They're doing this to really make God angry. And where? Why in Oklahoma? Why not California? Why not Minnesota? Because Oklahoma is considered to be the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. We're better place to put a statue of Baphomet than Oklahoma. It's a slap in the face of God. That'll give them more latitude to start making their plans. That's how they're doing it. This could be in reference to a logo or insignia We're already talking about the mark of the Antichrist on the foreheads. That's already now putting out about last 2 weeks ago. Much like the UN logo, as every soldier on a UN mission must wear, there might also be a logo or insignia that his armies would have to wear. All that dwell upon the earth will worship him, except those whose names are written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 15, verse 2. The mark of the beast will be the amount of his name, 666. He will not regard the desire of women, Daniel 11, 37. Now, here it's kind of interesting to note that most people think that he'll be homosexual, which could be, but rather it's possible that he'll place limitations upon children being born. You ever thought of that one? That's exactly what they're doing now. Controlling the birth process. That's where the HPV vaccine comes in. That's where the control tested in China. You see what they've done? It's been tested out already. Because it's a natural desire of a woman that God's given to them to be a mother. By not regarding the natural desire, he'd cause a forced limit on the amount of children a woman was allowed to have. They already have plans technologically and biologically that you already pick your child. These prodigies that you see on YouTube. Yeah, there you go. A little preempting. Those are genetically manipulated children. Now you know where they're trying to destroy the families. To have world peace, you must destroy the family. That's documented. Now you understand. That's the big picture. How this fits in with prophecy. He'll not regard the God of his fathers. He will prosper in everything that he does. He will give great honor to the God of forces with gold, silver, and jewels. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to back up here a minute. If those are keeping track, I'm going to give you scripture up to this point. Are you ready? Revelations 20, verse 10. Revelations 19, verse 20. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Okay. Daniel 8, 25. Revelation 17, 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 is a pretty encompassing scripture. Revelation 15, verse 2. Revelation 14, 11. Daniel 11, 37. And Daniel 8, 24. And then I left off at Daniel 11:38, he'll give great honor to the God of forces with gold, silver, jewels, etc. Daniel 11:38. And Daniel 7:25, he will try to change times and laws. They'll be given unto his power for 3.5 years. Daylight savings time. Be a change to all that. Daniel 7:25. He will have a great military power that will stand before him to enforce his laws. Does the UN come to mind? Yeah. Daniel 11:31. His kingdom will devour the whole earth. Daniel 7:23. He'd be given power over all kindreds and tongues and nations, Revelation 13, verse 7. He will rule a mighty and strong kingdom. That'd be the revived Holy Roman Empire. Daniel 7, verse 7. And during the time, the Antichrist will scatter the power of holy people. Daniel 12, verse 7. And this time of great tribulation, when it's launched upon the earth by the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, it'll be Matthew 24, 15, verses 21. Now up to that time, it will seem that he's a man of peace and not war. But now he shows his true colors, perhaps possessed by Satan himself, at a point as well. That's why I think it's a physical body. Because a fallen angel would not possess another fallen angel. But it would a physical body with a hybrid from one of the bloodlines of the Illuminati. So a fallen angel would not take the place of a fallen angel. That one is what keyed up in my mind at first. That would account for the false front being dropped at that time. He'll continue a war with the saints for 3.5 years. Daniel 7, 21 and 25. That's the beginning of the tribulation. Actually, he'll have power to make war with the saints and overcome them. Revelation 13, verse 7. He'll plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Daniel 11, 45. Now it would seem in Daniel 11, 45, by this verse, it seemed that the Antichrist will set up a small fortifications between the sea and Jerusalem. That's going to help him control over things in distant areas from the main offices. He'll take away the daily sacrifices from the temple, Daniel 11, 31. He'll claim to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. He'll sit in the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. And he'll exalt himself above all that's called God. That's all in the same scripture. He'll speak marvelous things against the God of gods, Daniel 11, 36. And he opposes God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Now, actually, you can verse what I'm telling you, and he would put it in some kind of order of going from the beginning to the end. Just kind of reverse the scriptures I've given you, but either way, it's in that order. So just reverse the scriptures I've given you. And it will put them in order, actually, because you can do that. The abomination of desolation is the event that signals the beginning of the final 42 months. It's Daniel 9, 27. That's the trumpets of God, the first of the seventh trumpet. A lot of scholars believe that Revelation 12, verse 7 to 10 occurs about this time. The Antichrist becomes possessed by Satan mid-tribulation and then forces a mark of death upon everybody. So if we go in order, I'm going to give it to you in order, since I've got it put here. Okay, you're ready. And this, see, the scripture is the best way to go. And then you integrate what you know with some grain of salt, the knowledge that the New Age has presented, about Sanand Emanuel and the fallen angels and the ascended masters and all that. The Antichrist will be a man, Daniel 7, 24 and 25. He'll confirm a covenant for 7 years. Daniel 9, 27. He may not create the covenant, but he'll confirm it. So that means there's got to be one beforehand. The idea here is confirm. He'll rise among 10 kings. And we'll give it to you in order. How about that? That's probably the best thing to do. The Antichrist will be a man. Daniel 7, 24 to 25. He'll confirm a covenant for 7 years. Daniel 9, 27. He'll rise among 10 kings. Daniel 7, verse 8. There'll be revived Holy Roman Empire. Daniel 2, verse 44. He will uproot 3 kings from the original 10 kings to gain political power. Daniel 7, verse 8. And this 10-nation union that we've already heard about before will merge into a world government that he'll dominate, Revelation 13, verses 1 to 2. The 10 nations we've talked about could merge into existing world government. That's where the UN comes in. They had this set up in 1943. Today they call it the North American Union, South American Union, the Occident, Scandinavian Union, African Union, European Union. There's 10 of them. Asian Union. How you got it now? Whoa. Are we almost there? Then he'll ascend to power as a platform of peace. And by peace, he'll destroy many. Daniel 8:25. When he does this, the beginning of the first 3.5 years, he'll be promoted and exalted by miracle. Kind of a religious partner, that's the false prophet, where he comes in. Revelation 13, 11 to 12. So in comes Sanan to Manuel, who may already be here, but he'll introduce the Antichrist. It could be the way. He was, is not, and yet is. Revelation 17, verse 8. Now that part has always got me. I've yet to really fully understand what Revelation 17, 8 means. It's more than likely it's referring to a political power. The Antichrist will have ruled before, but then it'd be taken out of power. But then to rise back up again to power at the head of the one world government. Some people say that's a reincarnation or incarnation of Nimrod. Well, they have in 1985 cloned Pharaoh. 1985. I found the article. But in Revelation 17:8, that's a very interesting. Now, the angel talks about this to John, refers to a mystery of the woman and the beast. The beast that John saw was the Roman Empire, existed in the past. It is not, means it broke up, no longer exists as a world empire today. It'll ascend out of the pit. It'll reappear, particularly diabolical form, and go to perdition. It'll be utterly and finally destroyed. So the revival of the empire and the appearance of its charismatic leader will cause the world of unbelievers to marvel at it. So we're talking about political power. The world government over which he'll rule is a communistic or a socialistic government, Revelation 17:14. They'll meet their Waterloo. He's the Lamb, he's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The followers are called and chosen and faithful. The Antichrist will be preceded by 7 kings or rulers. He'll be the 8th king. He'll also be the 7. There is a part that signifies possibility of Nimrod. Because in 1710, you got some commentators explain that these seven kings, as sometimes seven forms of Roman government. Others explain these as seven literal emperors. Others say that the kings represent a great world powers of the following: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And the future revived Roman Empire. So in 1711, the eighth king was identified as the head of the revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist. So the exact meaning of this prophecy may never be perfectly clear until it's fulfilled. And you'll find that's how the Bible's written. That no one person can say, I know the scriptures, I know the end result. Nobody can say that until it's actually fulfilled, and then you'll recognize it then. God set that up that way. So nobody can claim to be a prophet that's not. See how God did that? Isn't that clever how that's written? Wow. The Antichrist will be preceded by seven kings or rulers. He'll be the eighth king. He'll also be of the seven. That's where Nimrod comes in, Babylon. The possibility. Or somebody else may come out as a clone or whatever. A fallen angel taking some form. Who knows? Either way, they're going to hell. And not in a handbasket either. So that is pretty consistent with the world governments that have ruled: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then the future revived Holy Roman Empire. He will have a mouth speaking great things, very boastful. Daniel 7, verse 8. His look will be more stout than his fellows. Daniel 7, 20. Now, this stout means abundant, quality, size, age, number, rank, quality, age or number, rank or quality. And in the King James Bible, it says abound or a captain, an elder, or enough, or full, or great, something like that, of the word. So this can have several meanings. It could mean that the Antichrist will be as larger in size than anybody else. That'd be Nimrod. He'd be older than everyone else. Will have more of a following than anybody else. Is a higher military political rank than anybody else. Or is more qualified than anybody else. Whatever the verse is speaking, it's obvious when you look at him. Does that fit anybody today? Prince William? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Obama? Raj Patel? He's short. Squatty. Kind of makes you think a little bit, don't it, about all the candidates for Antichrist? He'll have a fierce countenance. Daniel 8:23. In the same scripture, he'll understand puzzling things. He will cause craft to prosper. Daniel 8:25. This definition of the word craft is called mirma. A sense of deceiving, fraud, craft, deceit, fake, feigned, treachery. So it is no wonder for the Bible that says that he is the father of all lies. So his policies or success will make it possible for his deception of the world to prosper. You know, God said if you do not believe the truth, that he would send a strong delusion that you're going to believe a lie. I don't think people realize this. He apparently assumes world-dominating power 3.5 years after he confirms his covenant. So now we're moving into the beginning of the first seal. He'll continue to reign for 42 months. That's the first part of the tribulation, the 3.5 years. Revelation 13, verse 5. And then you run into the abomination of desolation is the event that signals the beginning of this final 42 months in Daniel 9:27, you see. That'll be the first trumpet. And that's where I was talking about scholars believe this abomination of desolation. It's when Revelation 12, 7 to 10 occurs. At this point, whether he's shot in the head and the Antichrist takes over, Satan takes over his body or what, it's hard to say. But at some point, he's incarnated by Satan himself. There's his opportunity. So the physical vehicle, the body, is prepared for Satan. We'll go through all this, preparing the way in the first 3.5 years. And then, at the point of 3.5 years, that the evil has shown, that's when Satan will take over. The body, the actual body of the Antichrist. So, he apparently assumes world-dominating power 3.5 years after he confirms the covenant. That leads you to the first trumpet. That's when God brings down all the events, the trumpet to the seventh trumpet, to Revelation 13:5. At that point is the abomination of desolation. That's the event that signals the beginning of this final 42 months, Daniel 9:27. Some people call this abomination of desolation is per individual. You're Jonathan Click or whatever. They come up with this nonsense that each one has abomination of desolation. It's ridiculous. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist then marches into Jerusalem, and there'll be a lot of death before then, and he'll cause the Jews then that were allowed to start the blood sacrifices to cease sacrificing of animals. He'll declare himself to be God, and amidst all this, you're running into the probably about this time is when the rapture may occur. That's speculation. It may occur before this, or may occur during, or sometime, because you're not appointed to wrath, which means the wrath of God is the first trumpet, and you're not going to be there. That's for certain. Whether you're going to be protected somewhere on earth, or whether you're going to be raptured, that's God's business. But you're not appointed to wrath when you're born again. That's never happened in the history of man. But you have to endure to the end. Some have already died by the fifth seal because the soul is under the altar as martyrs. Others will live. The rapture will take up the rest. So at this Daniel 9:27, many theologians believe that at this point, Revelation 12:7-10 occurs. At which point the Antichrist becomes possessed by Satan himself. Not Avatar, but actually possessed in the body. Then, let's move on down. At this point, he opposes God, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. We're back on track. He will speak marvelous things against the God of gods, Daniel 11:36. Now you got it? He'll exalt himself above that which called God. He'll set the temple of God. He will claim to be God, his incarnation of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 has a lot of his characteristics in it. He'll take away the deadly sacrifices from the temple, as I said, Daniel 11:31. He will plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, Daniel 11:45, and that's what I was talking about a little while ago, in order. He'll have power to make war with the saints and overcome them. Revelation 13, verse 7. He'll continue this war with the saints for 3.5 years, even during the trumpets, Daniel 7:21-25. And this time of great tribulation is launched upon the earth by the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation. Matthew 24:15-21. He'll show his true colors then. That's when God takes over and intervenes. During this time, the Antichrist will scatter the power of holy people. Daniel 12, verse 7. He will rule a mighty and strong kingdom. Daniel 7, verse 7. He'll be given power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Revelation 13, verse 7. His kingdom will devour the whole earth. Daniel 7, 23. He'll have a great military power that will stand before him to enforce his laws. Daniel 11, 31. I got something to say about that. What human is going to be standing then? Won't be too many powerful enough, will they? That's where you're transhumanized. Supernatural army will start to exist. Humans will take second seat. You're not going to have China and Russia. It just, they won't exist. That's why this World War III is baloney. About Russia launching an attack and the fighting here in America that's going to happen, all that. That's not World War III. China and Russia's not even figured into this. So those radio broadcasters out there and those theologians that say this thing in the Ukraine and all that is World War III is a bunch of baloney. More baloney in a warehouse than Oscar Myers. It's garbage. Even their own planning of Albert Pike about World War III. I'm probably going to talk about that tomorrow, actually. Is between Islam and political Zionism. That's in their own plan. So what's this fraud about Ukraine and Russia, China, World War III, United States? Oh, it's already won. China's already here. World War III is over. You see what they're doing? Oh, man, they got a real surprise coming. So if they follow the Bible, as the elite do, something is not right here. And even their own planning, this claim about Ukraine being World War III and China and all that, that doesn't even hold water. Except for those who don't know the scriptures or even the plans of Illuminati. But you'll have a great military power of transhumanized super soldiers. Now you see where it comes in. So now we're heading toward the 200 million at the seventh trumpet. Seventh bowl, when Jesus Christ comes down, that is Armageddon. And that's not even a world war. The world war is the second seal. The red horse, that's a world war, the real one. He'll try to change times and laws, and they will be given unto his power for 3.5 years. Daniel 7:25. Now we come up to he will give great honor to the God of forces with gold, silver, jewels, and etc. Daniel 11:38. In Daniel 11:38, we'll take a second look at that one. Yep, Daniel 11:38. That encompasses 11:36 to 39. When you look at verses 36 to 45 in Daniel 11:36 to 45, that's still future. So verse 36 talks about the willful king. Makes him sound like the Antichrist. He'll prosper till God's wrath against Israel is accomplished. So there's a lot of theologians that believe that he'll be a Jew, judging from expressions like God of his fathers and the desire of women, etc., the Messiah. The Jews would hardly be deceived by a Gentile Messiah. At any rate, he'll be greatly extend his sway through aggressive materialism using super soldiers. So then it goes in, very interestingly enough, if you want to check it out, Daniel 11 to 40 to 45. See, this is where they're trying to say that Russia is the country. But remember, Russia won't be existing then, or China. So who's the king of the north? Would that not be Turkey? See, there's a problem in verses 40 to 45 as to who's intended by the he and the him. So one interpretation in Daniel 11 to 40 to 45 is that the king of the south collides with the willful king in the battle. And so the king of the north swoops down through Palestine and on to Egypt. But disturbing news from the east and from the north causes him to return to Palestine, where he encamps between the seas, Mediterranean and Dead Seas and Jerusalem. He'll be destroyed with no one coming to help him. Then it goes into Daniel 12, 1 to 3, and that's a great tribulation. See, the Bible's written in such a way that we can discuss it back and forth, but nobody's going to come to a definite decision. Until when? Until it actually happens. And God intended it that way. So no man, nor fallen angel, that have no wisdom and discernment, can claim to be the prophet with accurate description. See how it works? It's so genius that God has. He will try to change times and laws. Okay. He will prosper in everything he does. Daniel 8:24. He will not regard the God of his fathers. Daniel 11:37. What I was talking about there. That would be the tribe of Dan, wouldn't it? Possibly. A member of the tribe of Dan. That's of the Merovingian bloodline. The Queen Elizabeth group. Hybrids, the fallen angels. Sinclair? I don't know. Maybe we haven't seen him yet. Maybe Nimrod is still the one. Reincarnated, who knows? Or I should say incarnated is more accurate. He will not regard the desire of women, Daniel 11:37. And I explained that already about the forced limit of children to subjugate the woman's role. The mark of the beast will be the amount of his name, Revelation 14, verse 11. All that dwell upon the earth will worship him except for those whose names are written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 15, verse 2. He'll have then the image made after him, Revelation 15, 2. There's your ego going on. This could also be in reference to the kingdom's logo or insignia, as I said before. And if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, his coming will be after the workings of Satan. He'll fight against Jesus Christ at the real Armageddon and lose, Revelation 17, verse 14. Then he will stand against the Prince of Peace, Prince of Princes, as Jesus Christ, the real one, Daniel 8:25. Then the Lord will consume him with the spirit of his mouth, which is the word of God, the scriptures, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And also in the same scripture, the Lord will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That's Armageddon. He'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. That's Gog and Magog, sorry. He'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. Yeah, let's go back. The Lord will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That'd be Armageddon. But then, at 1,000 years later, Revelation 19, verse 20, he'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. That's at the end of the 1,000 years at Gog and Magog. When Satan is released for a short season to tempt the nations once more. So Revelation 19:20 will coincide with Gog and Magog at the end of the 1,000-year millennium. Write that down, look it up. please. He'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10. Yep, that's Gog and Magog. At the end of the 1,000 years. Now, that's an order. I just give it to you just now. Now, I can use that basis for tomorrow. When you study that, y'all, then we're going to talk about the Antichrist. It'll make a little more sense tomorrow. And we'll then start focusing on the false prophet. I'll tell you, I find it confusing, but then I expect it to be confusing because, as I said before, you understand, the Bible's not written in such a way that we can just go ahead and determine exactly who's what and what, so forth, until it actually happens, and you'll recognize it at that time. So we'll talk about tomorrow, at tomorrow's Bible study, about Jesus' warning of this time, and some more details about the Antichrist. And we'll get into the study and find out what we got going on. And I'll talk to you about who the Master Jesus is, that they call Master Jesus. And you'll find the description quite interesting from what we talked about tonight, how it all meshes together. We're to end. Those are the scriptures of about the Antichrist. In a nutshell there for you. And with commentary. And then you go back, and then you start you got a lot of work there. Because then you start your own commentary, your own study, and start putting it together so you can recognize it when it happens. Because there's people going to need help about this time because they're not doing the study you all are doing. And don't think that you're just getting scot-free here. No, because God knows you're studying and worshiping and praying, and he's going to use you. You're going to owe. He's going to bring people to you for you to witness to others. It's called divine appointments. And you have a desire to learn, to challenge, to understand. And God knows that. He's going to say, okay, now when I'm done, I'm going to use you. Because my people, he says, perish for lack of knowledge. And you're going to be the one to give them that knowledge. And that knowledge is how to be born again. And to recognize deception as it comes. And you're going to have the courage to stand up against what's coming at you. That's where you depend on God to give that courage. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us tonight. And Lord, to give us that discernment and wisdom, epiphanies that, Father, you'll give us through the Holy Spirit. Help us understand these scriptures that we can impart these upon others. Give us those divine appointments, Lord, that we can practice. We can help and assist others. And Father, to keep us strong with courage, wisdom, discernment. Stand strong against the wind to come. We do part, Lord. We pray for our family members that have these afflictions, mental and physical, emotional, that, Lord, you'll help us heal them with your Holy Spirit. Father, guide us that we have more Bible studies and Father, to be able to spread that word. As we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Family, y'all be ready now. Y'all be ready. Because there's going to be a time when they're going to shut you down. And then God will bring people to you. And then you have it. But you'll never be on your own if you have faith in God. So you'll have a good night. Sleep well. Pray. Meditate on His Word. And get used to that. Make it a habit. And be ready. And fasting is very important nowadays. So y'all have a good night. And thank y'all for coming to this Bible study. And see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And also let y'all know that we are played up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey under highpointradio.net, John Kirkler. He's got three towers up now, trying to grow. And he has sponsors up there in those three states. And give him a hand and contact him and find out what he's doing and show interest. He plays our broadcast, is what he does, and our Bible studies. Also, we're played at KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Raven Network. Simulcast us, and we appreciate that. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And reminds you, tomorrow at 7:30, I have guest appearance, I guess you could say. I'll be a guest on the show tomorrow at 7:30 to 9 on the Jesus in the Morning online radio by Freedom Doors Ministry, Barbara Mack. It'll be 7:30 is when I actually start. Music is played from 7 to 7:25, or prayer is like 7 to, begins about 7:20 or so. Then 7:30 I'd come on, and we'd talk about destruction of the family, in order to obtain world peace. That's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, that's what it's about. Tomorrow, 7:30 to 9 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. You can catch it either on Blog Talk Radio, or I'll also have it on my site as well. Well, watchmanforjesus.com. So, y'all have a good night. And God bless. And people, y'all get ready. Because that time's coming. And good night. This is Watchman signing off. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might live, and might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Y'all have a good night. This is Watchman signing out. Until tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Good night.